Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, November 13th, 2014, and if you hear banging or whirring or any kind of noises in the background, it's because I'm having a new water filter installed. There's nothing wrong with my old water filter. It's just it's being upgraded because the company who made my water filter, Pure Effect, is coming out with a new filter next week. And in fact, we're going to learn all about it next Tuesday on next Tuesday's show. And so I got one in advance, and so I'm trying it out, and it's getting installed today. And it's an interesting filter. We're going to hear about it on Tuesday, so I won't get into it today, because today we're going to be talking about the city of Berkeley, California, and their proposed cell phone right to know ordinance. My guest today, I actually have three guests, but my first guest is Ellen Marks. She's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, which focuses on prevention and on the wireless radiation issue as a possible cause of deadly brain tumors. Now, you may have heard Ellen back on April 28th when she was on. I invited her on then because she and others had just done a protest in San Francisco store by placing warning labels on the cell phones. And now what we're talking about today is a proposed ordinance in Berkeley, California, where it will require stores that sell cell phones to give a fact sheet that talks about what is the safest way to use a cell phone. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you so much for having me on again.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And I'll just say before you and I start talking that the other guests will be appearing later in the show. In the second segment, we'll be having Dr. John West, who works with cell phones and breast cancer. And in the third segment will be Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, who is a well-known researcher in the field of EMFs and author of the book called Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation and Your Health, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and What You Can Do to Protect Your Family. Long title. Anyway, she'll be on in the third segment, so we're going to be learning lots today about how cell phones can protect your health if they're worn near your body. So, Ellen, tell us what the issue is and why an ordinance.
Well, the issue is, in a nutshell, that the FCC mandates that the manufacturers put in disclosures, and what the manufacturers are doing right now is hiding this information in a manual or in the phone. But what they're requiring to be there is that the phone should not be held to the body. When it's held to the body, one may be exposed to radiation that exceeds the federal exposure guideline. So every manual has this information in it. It could be on page 296 in size 4 font, and people just don't know that they're there.
Well, the other thing that I noticed is that it doesn't even tell you in words that we understand what the distance is. Like, I was just looking at one on the Apple iPhone 5. Mm-hmm. I have an iPhone. And it says, carry the iPhone at least 10 mm away from your body. Well, who in America knows what a 10 mm is? How far is that?
Exactly. That's about a half an inch. But the bigger problem, I mean, that is a huge problem, that people are not seeing this. And the FCC says that the end user must see this, and they must understand it, and that is not happening. So the other issue with the iPhone is that I don't know how you found it, because one has to go through many steps to get there. You have to hit settings, then you have to hit general, then you have to hit about, doing this right now, and then you have to go down to legal, and then you have to go to RF exposure, and then in print that you can't make bigger, it does tell you carry the iPhone at least 10 millimeters away from your body to ensure exposure levels remain at or below the as-tested levels. So it's a combination of understanding what they're telling you and being able to find what they're telling you.
Well,
so
that's the
issue in Berkeley.
Yeah, honestly, I'll tell you that I didn't find it on my phone. I found it on the email that you sent me.
Okay.
Where you were giving examples. examples of fine prints of separation distance advisories. And I, when I bought my iPhone, I didn't even think twice about this. They didn't tell me anything at the store. Right. I didn't read the manual. I just started holding it up to my head.
Exactly.
And I don't do that anymore. I don't do that one anymore. Since you were on the show and you told us about this, I now use the speaker feature. And I hold it way like a foot away and talk into the speaker.
Well, that's wonderful, because what we're trying to do is raise awareness and educate people that this information is there and there's reasons for this information being there. So what Berkeley has proposed, and I want to thank Max Anderson and Chris Worthington, the two city council members who are introducing this legislation, and they've been steadfast in their efforts. And what it says, the proposed wording of the ordinance, would be a handout given to everyone when they buy a cell phone. So it would be at the point of sale instead of hiding it the way it is hidden now. And what it would say is, the federal government requires that cell phones meet radio frequency RF exposure guidelines. Don't carry or use your phone in a pants or shirt pocket or tucked into a bra when the phone is turned on and connected to a wireless network. This will prevent exposure to RF levels that may exceed the federal guidelines. Refer to the instructions in your phone or user manual for the recommended separation distance. It's good. It's fairly minimal, but we have to do that because this industry has already threatened a lawsuit. They've done this in other places across the nation who have tried similar legislation. But this is more minimal. This is not violating the industry's First Amendment rights because it's not compelling speech and it's not controversial. It's merely taking the information that already exists in the phone and in the FCC compliance documents and putting it in the consumer's hand at the point of sale so that individuals and parents can make informed choices as to how they and their children will use these devices. They should not be held to the body when they're on.
So if they, here's just a practical question. You need to leave your phone on, don't you, in order to receive a call?
Mm-hmm.
So one would have to just make sure that they carry it. I know I have a little case, a Pong case for mine, and I don't carry it in my pocket or put it in my bra. I put it in my purse or it's sitting on my desk about 2 feet away, and it's in my little Pong case.
Well, you're absolutely right. That is a huge issue because we all love our phones. I still use one, but I never carry it to my head or to my body. And people are, this is a valuable technology. Many of us are probably addicted to this device. So where do we keep it?
Yeah.
And for women, they can keep it in their purse. Men should keep it in a briefcase, in a backpack. We probably need a new man bag of some sort. But we need an alternative to keeping it in a pocket because, as Deborah Davis will tell you later, there's a lot of science about sperm damage, damage to fetuses. Dr. West will tell you that there's some information now about young women with unusual breast tumors who kept their cell phones in their bra. So we need an alternative. And we also need this industry to eventually make safer equipment. They already have the patents on safer equipment, but they're not releasing it because that would be admitting that there is a problem, and they don't want to admit that there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So when we need to go to break soon, and so when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. John West, and you can stay on the line, Ellen, in case you want to jump in and talk with him, because there is two lines, and we'll just have you keep you on through all the entire show. And then come back in segment 4. We'll talk with you again more about the ordinance. You're welcome. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about the proposed Berkeley legislation to have a fact sheet given that tells you about the distances that you should have your phone and the health effects that people have already found from having your phone on next to your body. And when we come back from the break, we'll be talking with Dr. John West. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we're going to play the music again. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, because we just had a little telephone mix-up, and we're going to get Dr. West on the line. But so just hold on and listen to the music, and we'll be right back. And the producer is not playing the music because he thinks I'm talking. Okay, Brett, I just sent you, I just Skyped you the phone number. So try this new number. And I'll just talk. Ellie, are you still there? No, nobody's there. Okay, I hope you can hear me. So I will talk because we don't want to have dead air time here. So I'm going to introduce Dr. West while we're waiting to get him on the phone. He's, and my producer says that he's calling him, and so it should just be momentarily. So Dr. West is a general surgeon, and he's been interested in breast cancer since the mid-1980s. He has been named one of the best doctors in America and is recognized as one of the best doctors in Orange County. He's been the lead author in 20 peer-reviewed articles, written 2 books, and he's on the forefront of cutting-edge breast cancer issues. He's the co-founder and chairman of the board of the Breast Health Awareness Foundation, a community outreach program dedicated to early detection. And I just got that he's online. And he loves physical fitness, gardening, and scuba diving. Hello, Dr. West.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Nice day here in Southern California.
And it's a nice day here in Florida. So tell us about your work with breast cancer and cell phones.
Well, of course, I've dedicated the last 30 years of my life to breast cancer, early detection, risk reduction, et cetera. A couple of years ago, a patient showed up at our center with a cancer in the upper inner left breast. She was about 38 years old, and she had no family history or any known risk factors, but she said the cancer occurred directly under where she had been storing her cell phone and her bra. So when we were a bit skeptical when we presented her case to our conference and looked at the pathology. It had kind of an unusual appearance, and I remember the pathologist commenting on the fact that there was a widespread area of little areas of microinvasion, and this was distinctly unusual. So that kind of got me thinking, well, maybe this lady did have a story to tell. I presented her a case at a big countywide conference, a breast surgeon, and basically got laughed off the stage, told in no uncertain terms that there's no data whatsoever to support this concept, that cell phones had microwave energy and that microwave energy is safe. And so, I kind of, okay, guys, I'll keep my mouth shut. So shortly thereafterwards, I got contacted by a 21-year-old who was diagnosed with what she felt to be a cell phone-related breast cancer. And then over the years, I've collected more cases and finally published a series. But the most dramatic event that really changed my thinking and convinced me that this could be a major problem, if in fact it's the tip of the iceberg. I was sitting in my desk, as I usually do during office hours, and the radiology technicians, 2 or 3 of them, came running into the room and said, "Hey, we got another one." And it turned out to be a 21-year-old girl that had what she felt to be a cell phone-related breast cancer, but the appearance of her mammogram was absolutely mind-boggling. She had an unusual distribution of calcifications that were occurring in relation to her cancer. And I asked the radiologist, I said, just how long is that area of calcifications? And she measured it with her ruler and said 9.5 centimeters. I said, well, how wide is the distribution? She measured it with 3.5 centimeters. So I pulled a cell phone out of my pocket and I said, measure this. And it was 9.5 by 3.5. I about fainted. This is the most dramatic example I can think of. Now, I've had other dramatic examples. One that occurs to me is a young woman, again, with none of these women had a family history, worked at a cell phone manufacturing company, and the cell phones were on a conveyor belt below her, at the level of her waist, just below her breast. And at age 38, she developed breast cancer is in the lower aspect of both breasts. I've never seen that pattern before. And all of these women that I've been dealing with, that have been collecting, have no family history, at least the ones that I'm reporting on. I do get, after I was on the Oz show, I got a tremendous response from women who thought they might have a cell phone-related breast cancer. But you know, once a woman reaches a certain age, cancer becomes common, and using cell phones becomes common. And to my great surprise, storing the cell phone in the bra is remarkably common. So I can't really make much out of those cases. But when I get a woman under 30 and start collecting a series of them, it starts making me really nervous. And we published a series of four of the women a couple of years ago, and it got a lot of attention, but it showed a detailed analysis of the mammograms and the pathology, et cetera, and they all seem to have a very consistent pattern. And so this consistency of the pattern has convinced me that there is a problem. And so what is the solution? Well, I'm not going to stand up on my soapbox anymore and say, you know, cell phones can cause breast cancer, but I said read the safety information that comes along with the cell phone. That is, if you can find it on the Internet. And virtually every cell phone manufacturer now says keep the cell phone at least a half an inch from the skin. Now, I'm concerned that the breast is a particularly sensitive organ in its early stages of development. So teenage women who have chest x-rays, we know are at increased risk for early onset breast cancer. And I think the same vulnerability may be for microwave irradiation. And I think that maybe older women might get by with this behavior. But I think particularly for these young women, and what worries me, these high school girls and college girls, it's routine behavior. We did one survey of college girls that showed that 3% of them, 40% of them stored the cell phone in their bra at least once during the day, and 3% stored it in their bra for more than 10 hours. So these are the women, just like with the cell phone-related brain cancers, where we know that early onset and long duration are associated with this increased risk of, or at least there's proposed to be an increased risk of brain cancers. The same might well apply even more so to breast, because the breast being a vulnerable organ, and very young women starting, you know, women starting at a very young age and with prolonged storage may be exposing some of these particularly sensitive women to early onset breast cancer. And in fact, if this proves to be the case, just think of what it implies. Over the next decade, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of women who have been exposed but don't know what to do. What do you tell a 19-year-old girl, or tell the mother of a 19-year-old girl who's noted that her daughter's been storing her cell phone in her bra for years and then doesn't know what to do next now that she knows that it is a risk? So,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry, Dr. Russ, but our time is up. It's time to go to commercial, and I so appreciate your being here for this segment. If you'd like to go to Dr. West's website and find out more about breast cancer and how cell phones affect it, just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and I have the websites for all the guests that are on today there in the show description. And so ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, this has been Dr. John West, and he has lots more information on his website. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about cell phones and the Berkeley Right to Know Ordinance that will require retailers to pass out a fact sheet telling about what is the safe distance to store and hold a cell phone. And we had several guests scheduled today, and our scheduled guest for this segment, Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, didn't answer the phone. And I think I know why, because she told me when we scheduled her that she thought this time would be fine, but that her daughter is expecting a baby. So I'm thinking that she might have rushed to the hospital with her daughter to give while she gives birth. So we'll reschedule her, because Dr. Davis has a lot to say about cell phones, and she's just returned from India where she has some new research. And so we'll just reschedule her and give her a whole hour. So Ellie, do you want to tell us a little bit about what Dr. Davis was going to talk about?
Well, I think Deborah was going to talk about some research that has been done recently on reproductive health with cell phone radiation. And I don't know all of it, but I'm not a scientist, but I can tell you that there has been considerable science over the years. There's been studies out of Cleveland Clinic and Harvard and Yale about damage to sperm and damage to fetuses. Now, as far as sperm goes, what the science has found is that when cell phones are carried in the pocket on and connected to a wireless network, that sperm is not only being damaged, but sperm count is down. So this is a serious concern, and I don't believe there's been any studies as to what this is doing to a woman's reproductive organs and to eggs, but I can only imagine. So there's considerable concern about when a man keeps a phone in a pocket.
Right.
And also, we are definitely concerned about women keeping them near their abdomen when they're pregnant. Dr. Dee-Koon Lee at Oakland Kaiser has done some research on this and found that cell phone radiation does affect fetuses. And there's talk about it increasing behavior. There's a study out of Yale that talks about cell phone radiation and damage to fetuses. This was a study done in rats where it showed symptoms such as ADHD, where the rats who were exposed to the radiation while in utero and when they were children, young rats, they exhibited signs of ADHD and unusual behaviors, where the rats who were not exposed to the radiation did not do this. So there's concerns about that. There's been some studies about damage to fetuses. There's a woman who lives up in Marin who was a realtor, and she kept cell phones in both pockets while she was pregnant. And unfortunately, her four-year-old died from a glioma, and that is the type of brain tumor attributed to cell phone use. So we're obviously very concerned, and
yes.
I'm not exactly sure what else Deborah was going to go into today, but she's definitely a leading expert on this issue, and she's...
And we'll have her on again. I'll reschedule
yes,
her so that she can...
Yes, and I apologize for that. One thing I would, I'd like to say a couple of things as long as we have the time. Berkeley is doing the right thing, and other cities and states have tried to do similar things in the past, and they've been met with campaign contributions from industry, to legislators. They've been met with litigation by this industry who claims that anything that a city or state does in regard to this is a violation of their First Amendment rights. Well, what about our rights to know about a ubiquitous device that even children are using? So we're really proud of Berkeley. And Harvard law professor, constitutional law professor Larry Lessig, has helped us draft this legislation. And he will defend this pro bono for the city of Berkeley against the industry. And he feels that the way in which this is written will stand up in court. Because, like I said before, it is not compelling speech and it is not controversial. So Berkeley is a city that is progressive, and they stand up for their constituents' rights,
yes.
And we're really proud of them. And they recently, I think you might know, they recently passed a soda tax.
Yes, I just heard that on the news.
Yes, and we're very proud of them for this. And it's similar. I mean, they're standing up to big industries who are profiting at the expense of our children and grandchildren. And, they're not alone. I mean, the president's cancer panel has warned, I think it was in 2010, warned the president that cell phone radiation is a potential public health risk, a great one for the 21st century. The World Health Organization has classified cell phone radiation a possible carcinogen. The American Academy of Pediatrics has spoken out about this. They wrote a letter to the FCC in 2013, and they said children are not little adults and are not disproportionately impacted by all environmental exposures, including cell phone radiation. And they went on to say current FCC standards do not account for the unique vulnerability and use pattern specific to pregnant women and children. It is essential that any new standard for cell phones or other devices be based on protecting the youngest and most vulnerable populations. They also asked for the FCC to provide meaningful consumer disclosures, and that's exactly what we're doing. And also, the Government Accountability Office in 2012 issued a report on this called Exposure and Testing Requirements for Mobile Phones Should Be Reassessed. And this is an important point. What they said is, the FCC has not reassessed its testing requirements to ensure that they identify the maximum RF exposure a user could experience. Some consumers may use mobile phones against the body, which the FCC does not currently test, and could result in RF energy exposure higher than the FCC limit. So the FCC and the manufacturers are not currently testing these phones as used, and that's where these disclosures are coming from. So the public needs to know this. And yes, I mean, what Dr. West said is so important. Many women, young mothers who are busy with their kids and need their hands, are putting their cell phones in their bra. If this is true, and it sounds like there is a correlation, people need to know. We can't wait until it's too late, like we did with asbestos, like we did with smoking. So it's very important information that Dr. West shared with you. There's also, he did this case series with Dr. Lisa Bailey at Alta.
And before you tell us about that, we need to go to break, and we'll have more time when we come back.
You're listening to
Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about cell phones and breast cancer and other types of cancer and other dangers. And my guest is Ellen Marks, and she'll be back with us. We also had on Dr. West, and she'll be back after the break, and we'll talk more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Ellen Marks. And we're talking about the new Berkeley Right to Know ordinance for customers to know what is, I don't want to say a safe distance, because I'm not sure that, I mean, there's the warning distance, but I'm not sure that it's actually safe. It's probably safer to use it at this distance. But, you know, I was thinking, I'm still hearing Dr. West's words at the end of his segment when he was saying, once you find out about that it causes cancer and that you've been using this phone, I mean, what are you supposed to do? And my only solution that I know, I only know two things. One is to use some kind of device like a Pong case to reduce the amount of radiation. And number two is to just not use a cell phone. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I can remember when we didn't have cell phones. I can remember
right.
when we didn't have answering machines. You know, you had to be there. Yeah, I'm 100
years
old.
That's true. I was just telling my 28-year-old daughter that the other day, how when I was young, a teenager, we had to actually call our friends, and if they weren't home, it just rang and rang. We didn't even have answering machines.
That's right.
But this technology is not going to go away, and we need to be realistic about that. And I do agree with you that I don't think that they're safe, and the FCC limits do not protect us from the reality of them. They only protect us from the thermal damage that's possibly being done and not from the non-thermal damage. The science, thousands of studies have shown that damage is being done to us by this radiation, by this non-ionizing radiation, at non-thermal levels far below the FCC standards. So the reality is, even keeping it a small distance, while it's better, is it safe? No, it's not safe. So people, I don't think we need to abandon the technology. As I said before, it would be great if the industry would fess up to the problem and release the patents they have on safer equipment. In the interim, I think we just need to learn, unfortunately, and have government warn us or advise us of the fact that the phones are not being tested to our bodies and that this language is in the manuals. And we need to find an alternative. We need to keep them off. We shouldn't be sleeping with them on. Many, I think it's 87% of teenagers sleep with them underneath their pillow at night. They want to get their text messages. They use it as their alarm clock. And they need to know that this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, it's like people, I think that there's a false sense of, that people think that cell phones are safe, and they just use them for everything. I know a number of people who don't even have a landline. And so if they're going to talk on the phone, they're always talking on their cell phone. I don't do that. I have a landline, and I give people my cell phone number, but I say, do not call me on my cell phone, because I do not spend time talking on my cell phone. I just use it for emergencies, or if I'm traveling, or, you know, when I'm out, I carry it with me in my purse, or I leave it in the car. when I'm driving around or something like that, in case, because sometimes I do need to have, in today's world, you do need to have a phone when you're out because there's no such thing as a payphone anymore. Remember payphones?
Yeah.
Remember phone booths?
Now they're turning them into wireless hotspots.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. And unfortunately, there's many people, though, who use this for business reasons.
Yeah.
I will tell you a personal story. My husband is unfortunately someone who has been affected by this. He has a brain tumor that has been attributed more likely than not to his cell phone use. Thankfully, he's doing well, and he's still working, and he's in the real estate industry. If he didn't have a cell phone, he'd be out of business.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to earn a living. They'd be on to the next person. So what he does is he never holds it to his head. He never keeps it on in a pocket or anywhere on his body. He doesn't sleep with it at night. We keep him in another room at night. We don't have Wi-Fi in our house. So he's learned the hard way that he needed to make changes. And until the industry does something to stop wargaming this and to fess up to the fact that there is a problem, then we need to make the changes ourselves. And that's why, with what Berkeley is doing, we are trying to raise awareness that there is an issue, that their cell phones are not safe as they are used. They are not meant to be held in the bra. They're not meant to be held in a pants pocket in the front or back. There was just a scientific study that came out the other day that colon cancers are in the rise in 20 to 34-year-olds. This is very unusual. They did not find the reason. They didn't correlate cell phone use, but my colleagues and I are wondering about this and hope that there will be more research. So we need to find alternatives. And it's funny what you said, because some of the manuals even go as far as to say limit your use.
Wow.
But people don't know that. And, you know, a lot of people in Berkeley do not have landlines. You're absolutely right. They're quite expensive. And they've given it up. They figure if they have a cell phone, they don't need a landline. And by the way, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but cordless home phones are probably as dangerous as cell phones.
Yes.
The base stations emit the same radiation. So we try to tell people to use a corded landline. That's what I'm on right now, and that's probably what you're on.
That is what I'm on. And I'll tell you, I had an EMF expert. Actually, I had a whole class of consultants that were being trained in this come to my house, and all of them measured the EMFs all over my house. And the number one place where the EMFs were most strongly emitting was in my cordless phone, sitting maybe 2 feet away from where I sit all day long. And and when they showed me the levels, I went straight into the outside garbage, and I went and bought a corded landline, and that was it. And I have never used one since.
You and I think alike, because I also have an RF device that measures RF, and I had cordless home phones, and when I realized what they were doing, what they measured, they were very high.
Very high.
I threw them away. My husband said, "You're selling those or giving them away, right?" I said, "No, they're going in the garbage."
No, mine went in the garbage, and you know, people sleep with them right next to their bed
night.
And, you know, they go, it goes right through the wall. The wall doesn't keep the radiation from going through into another room. And, and so we really, you know, I agree with you that it would be unrealistic to think that we're never going to use this technology. I mean, I know that sometimes, like, especially when I travel, I have to have a cell phone because if I'm traveling to a media event, the television show has to be able to reach me on the cell phone.
Exactly.
And so people expect that you're going to have that, but that doesn't mean that you have to be using it in the least irresponsible way, or the most irresponsible way, I want to say.
Right.
And that we certainly can reduce our exposure in everything that we do. It's like with toxic chemicals we talk about on this show. The more you can do to reduce your exposure, the better off you're going to be. And the more you can do to reduce the amount that you use your cell phone, the better off you're going to be. The more you can do to protect yourself, the more you do to reduce your exposure. And that's why this ordinance is so important. I think this ordinance should be in every city around the world.
Well, that is our goal. And the way that Professor Lessig wrote this, it's so minimal that we hope that it will stand up in court, because this industry is despicable. They probably will sue. And he wrote it in a manner which will stand up in court, and we will take this across the nation. Yes. And it's a start. Berkeley was the first city in California to enact secondhand smoking legislation years ago, and look where we are now.
Yes.
So we've come a long way with that, and hopefully that this is the beginning, and it will take off across the nation, and eventually it will be more. And eventually,
well, even if it doesn't pass and there is no ordinance, the fact that you're talking about it, the fact that we're having this show today, and I know you'll continue to get as much media attention as you can on this. People are hearing this, and they're getting educated. And that's the
absolutely
whole point, is for people to
many
know.
Many of my colleagues say that. They say it's even if it does not pass, which we hope it does, it's not a loss because we are getting media attention, and thank you for this. And we are getting the word out there, and people want to be educated. We recently released a movie called Mobilize about this, and we've shown it on some college campuses, and it won an award for best documentary at a recent film festival. People really want this information.
Yeah.
This is a ubiquitous device their children are using and sleeping with. It's 24/7. So they really want this information. The public wants it and needs it. So,
well, I'm so glad that you're doing this. And I, as I said
you.
At the beginning of the show, the way I found out about you was that you and others did a protest by putting warning labels on phones in San Francisco, in a store in San Francisco. And I think that that's brilliant and brave. And we need more people standing up to say, you know, what are the dangers of cell phones and other toxic products and things that are affecting our health in a negative way. How can we see the movie Mobilize? Is it on a website someplace?
It is available on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O.
Yeah.
And we also have the DVDs, and people can contact me. Can I give you an email?
Sure.
Okay, it's C-A for California, B-T-A for Brain Tumor Association, at Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, K, Marks, M-A-R-K-S, .com. And I can tell them how to get the video, and we're also interested in showing it across the nation. If groups want this shown, we can do that, and we can have guest speakers there.
Good. So yeah. That's all the time we have for today. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and get all the information on all the speakers, all the guests that are on today. This show will be transcribed. It'll be available next Tuesday. So if you just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, look up the show, and you'll be able to read the transcript. Share it with your friends. Let everybody know about this issue. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.